You see, we spend a lot of time focused on things that we can see, things that we can measure, whether it be status, whether it be wealth, whether it be fame, whether it be trial and pain and affliction. We can see those things and we measure them and we say, look how great and look at the magnitude of that. And we focus so much of our life and our energy on those things which we see. But he says, listen, those things which you see, they're temporal. But those things which are not seen, those things are eternal. And in comparison to the things which are eternal, the light afflictions that you face on a day-to-day basis are nothing.
Thank you for joining us for today's broadcast of Growing in Grace. The Bible instructs us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In a moment, you'll hear from Pastor Brian Weiss with instructive biblical teaching for your personal spiritual growth. This message was originally preached at Fargo Baptist Church in Fargo, North Dakota. Take out your Bible and prepare your heart for what God has for you today. Now let's hear from Pastor Weiss.
Let's take our Bibles tonight. Turn to the book of James, chapter number 1. James chapter 1, we've looked at a couple of different messages from James chapter 1 so far, as we're kind of getting into this epistle that is written. It's addressed to the 12 tribes that are scattered abroad, and obviously primarily addressed to, I believe, Jewish Christians who were living in various parts of the known world at that time, quite possibly after the scattering that took place there in Acts chapter 8. As the Bible tells us that upon the persecution of Stephen, they were scattered, and they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. And now James, one of the apostles, and likely Jesus' brother, James, is actually addressing this letter to them. And we find some instructions, basic instructions on living the Christian life in the world and as a people that are set apart to the Lord. And we of course started with those with that message on rejoicing in the trials, as verse number 2 tells us we are to count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptations or trials of our faith. Last week we looked at the subject of wisdom and seeking the wisdom of the Lord, and tonight we're going to pick it up here in verse number 9. And if you would stand with me for the reading of the scripture, I'd encourage you to do that. If you cannot, that's fine. You can remain in your seat, but let's read beginning in verse number 9, and we'll read on down through verse 12 this evening. The Bible says here in James 1, beginning in verse 9, "Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word tonight. And as we continue in the book of James, and we look at this rich passage of Scripture, we turn to you for help. We turn to you for help in interpreting and understanding what the Scripture says. And then, Lord, we look for you to for help to understand not only what it says, but what it means and what you mean by the words that you've given to us in your Word. And then, Lord, we really need your help not only to understand what it says and what it means, but how it applies to us. And Lord, I pray that tonight you would make application from your word to our hearts, and that we would come face to face tonight with some truths that would, Lord, cause us to examine ourselves and to look within, and to allow your Holy Spirit to search our hearts and reveal to us areas where we may be walking in the flesh or relying on things of this world, or maybe we're living in a state of of insecurity because we look at ourselves and see ourselves as nothing. And Lord, I pray that tonight we would get a heavenly perspective on life. And that as we look into your word and your Holy Spirit reveals truth to us, Lord, that you would give us the desire and the understanding in order to allow you to change our lives. May we leave here tonight changed, more like Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that through the preaching tonight, that you would make changes in each of our lives that would not only better us and help us to be more Christ-like, but Lord, that you would use it in our families and use it in this church, Lord, to bring glory to your name. Lord, use it in the world to bring the lost to salvation. And we'll praise you for all that you do. We ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. From the beginning of time, or at least really shortly after the creation of the world, man has lived within a class system. And we can talk about Eastern cultures, and we find that in a lot of Eastern cultures, even today, there is a class system where depending on which family you were born into, which province of a country you were born in, what your last name is, what the color of your skin is, you are graded by society as being higher or lower just simply by your birth. Now, we as Westerners and Americans kind of pride ourselves in not being that way, and we claim that all men are created equal, and we claim to believe that. And yet, at the same time, we even in 21st century America have a class system, a caste system, if you will. And this system isn't as much anymore based upon what your last name is or where you were born or the color of your skin, hopefully. But we do find that there is a system of status, we would call it, based upon your position in life. And within society, you are either revered or kind of ignored based upon your means within life. Whether you're wealthy or whether you're poor. Whether you have position or not. Whether you are highly respected or if you are one who is least esteemed. And really, throughout history, throughout the history of Christianity and throughout the history of churches, we find that there's been a problem even within churches of certain people being elevated above others based upon their status in life. We talk about keeping up with the Joneses. The idea of keeping up with the Joneses is really, I want to make sure that I have status in my life, that I have reached a state of class or of a caste, if you will, where I can be respected, where I can be revered, where others will look at me and envy me, okay? And we have that even today. People wanting to lift themselves up, make themselves known. We have a desire to be prominent. We have a desire to be of a high degree, if you will. And we talk about status symbols, don't we? A status symbol of the car that you drive or the house that you live in. And we could go on and on about different things that we might have in our lives as status symbols. And really, here in the book of James, James begins to address this issue of status. And he addresses both sides of the issue and tries to put in perspective and really put in God's perspective how God sees class and status. And so here's what he says in verse number 9. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. So first he addresses this humble person, this person that we might say is lowly or least esteemed, one who maybe is financially poor and doesn't have much in the way of means. Maybe they live a fairly meager lifestyle. Maybe this is someone who doesn't have a real respected job, and their occupation isn't one that really attracts a lot of attention. Maybe it's someone who within a church is just kind of not considered to be of the same status of others. And James addresses this person first, and he says to this person, you can rejoice. I put it this way, when James addresses the status of believers, he says, first of all, to the humble, rejoice. If you are a person, you look at yourself, and you look in the mirror, and you say, you know, nobody really respects me because of who I am. I come from the wrong side of the tracks, and I have baggage, and I have a background, and I'm not eloquent, and I'm just not a leader, and people don't look to me with a lot of respect and honor and that kind of thing. If you are this brother of low degree in your own eyes, James says here, rejoice. He says to the humble, rejoice. If you're a person without means and without a high class or a highly respected person, he says you can rejoice. Why can you rejoice? Because you rejoice because God exalts those who are lowly. I want you to think about that for a moment. God exalts those who are lowly. Have you ever realized that there is no respect of persons with God? None whatsoever. The Bible tells us in a couple different places that God is no respecter of persons. We may have respect to other people. We may look at someone and say, boy, that person really has it all together. I mean, they're talented and they just seem to have everything, and they've just got this way about them. They're charismatic, and people are drawn to them. And we might look at someone and kind of elevate them a little bit. And if we'd be real honest, we might look at other people and make them low in our eyes, and we say, well, you know, that person, they're kind of, well, they just kind of are what they are, you know. And as they would say in the South, bless their heart, they're just not quite at the same level as others. And we may not say that with our mouth, but natural human tendency and human nature is to look at people and put them in a particular status. And God doesn't look at people that way. God's not a respecter of persons. In fact, when God looks at people, often he says things like this: many that are first shall be last, and the last first. In other words, those who in your eyes are prominent and revered and respected, God looks at them and he says, back of the line. But to those that we might look at and not give a second thought to them, he says, you can come up to the front of the line. Many that are last shall be first, and the first last. Why? Because God is looking for the brother of low degree. God help us all to be brethren of low degree. May we see ourselves as those of low degree. In fact, I would say to you tonight that if you're here and you look at yourself and you say, you know what, I've pretty much got it together, and things are going well, and others ought to respect me because I respect me, and you've got that attitude about yourself and you feel pretty good and you're getting a little bit big for your britches, let me just tell you, God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. May we all be those brethren of low degree. May we see ourselves in the light of, as we compare ourselves against the Lord Jesus Christ in all his glory and his righteousness, and may we humble ourselves in the sight of God. I want you to notice the very first words of this chapter, chapter 1. James introduces this epistle by saying, James, a servant of God. We could go over to the book of Romans and we could find that Paul there identifies himself as a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel. It's interesting as we read the scriptures that some of the greatest men and those who within our eyes we would put them up on a pedestal, the way that they want to be identified first and foremost is as a servant. In other words, we could put it this way, could we not? James, a brother of low degree, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I am. James could have said, I'm the brother of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. Well, and if he's my brother, then I must be a prince, right? Or he could have said, James, an apostle. James, that presiding elder within the church at Jerusalem. But instead he said, James, a servant. And to the brethren of low degree, he says tonight, and the Lord Jesus Christ would say to us, rejoice in that you are exalted. To the humble, he says, rejoice. I want you to hold your place here and go over to chapter number 4, James chapter 4. Verse number 8 says this, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Humble yourselves. If we were to back up to verse number 6, we see these words, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And then we go forward just a few more pages to 1 Peter chapter number 5. In 1 Peter chapter 5, we'll begin reading in verse number 5. It says this, likewise ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So as James is talking to these brethren, and he says, listen, within your churches, there are brothers of low degree, and there are those who are rich, and those who are highly esteemed. And I just want to address for a moment the brother of low degree. You can rejoice. And here's why. Because God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble, and he's promised to exalt those and to lift those up who are humble. Folks, there's an awful lot to be said for humility. We spend a lot of our lives trying to make ourselves look good, and we're so concerned with what other people think of us, and it's nothing but pride. And we spend so much of our lives trying to put, let's be honest, some lipstick on the pig, and make other people think that we're something we're not. And God says, I don't want any part of that. I'm going to resist that. But you know what? To those who are humble, to those who are lowly, I'll exalt them. I'll lift them up. And by the way, I think I'd rather have the praise of God than the praise of men. I think I'd rather have God look at me and say, you know what? That's my servant. And I'll exalt him rather than someone else look at me and say, wow, that's a great guy. Because God knows the real me. And he knows the real you. And I would rather be a humble servant of the Lord than someone who is highly esteemed. Go back to the book of Proverbs for a moment, if you would. In chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. Verse number 18 says this, pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. If you're a proud person, if you have a haughty attitude, be ready, because there's a fall coming. And then he says, better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. This wisdom book addressed to from a father to a son under Holy Spirit inspiration, which is just a tremendous concept if you think about that. Solomon writing to his son, is giving him instruction. And this man who is of higher degree probably than any man who's ever lived, great wealth, great wisdom, sought after by all the world. In fact, when Jesus wanted to use an example of earthly glory, he used Solomon as an example. Remember, he talked about the lilies of the field, and he said even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. I mean, when Jesus wanted to point out someone who was of high degree, he pointed to Solomon. And this man, Solomon, says, "Son, I just want you to know that it's better for you to spend your time among the lowly and be humble than to make your friends among the proud and those that are highly exalted by others. Better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud." And then we go over to Matthew chapter 20, and we see Jesus teaching this same lesson to his disciples. Matthew chapter number 20. Every time I read this passage of Scripture, I can't help but think that James and John didn't do a very good job at hiding their pride. See, we've done a very good job at learning to hide our pride, and we've clothed it in false humility a lot of times. Matthew 20, beginning in verse 20, it says, "Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him, and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, 'What wilt thou?' She saith unto him, 'Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left hand in thy kingdom.' But Jesus answered and said, 'Ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?' They say unto him, 'We are able.' And he saith unto them, 'Ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with, but to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father.' And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren." So we had two of the disciples who, instead of asking Jesus directly, they said, "Hey, Mom," think about that for a minute. "Hey, Mom, would you go to Jesus for us and ask if we could sit on his right hand and his left hand in his kingdom?" "Sure, son." So she goes and she asks Jesus, and then the other 10 disciples find out about it, and rather than saying, "Boy, I'm glad I wasn't one of those two guys," they were upset and angry because they felt that that's where their position should be. Isn't it ironic that out of 12 apostles, every one of them thought that they should have position seated next to Christ? Dare I say that in a crowd this size, most every one of us thinks that we ought to have some position. They were moved with indignation against the two brethren, but Jesus called them unto him and said, verse 25, "Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them, but it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister, and whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." Jesus said, "I'll tell you what, if you want to be great, if you want to be highly esteemed, here's what you need to become: a servant." And he himself demonstrated that last night that he was with his apostles as they had the Last Supper there. And he knelt down and washed their feet. Be a servant. Jesus said, if you want to be someone, be a servant. James says, let the brother of low degree rejoice. You say, "Well, I'm nobody. God could never use me." No, rejoice. Rejoice in that you are exalted. Rejoice in that you are exalted, because God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And every time that you have a humbling, humiliating experience, here's what you need to do. Chalk it up to the fact that God knows what He's doing, and He's keeping you humble. You remember that Paul said that the thorn in the flesh was given to him lest he should be exalted above measure. And in his flesh he resisted it, but in his spirit he rejoiced. Let the brother of low degree rejoice. He says to the humble, rejoice. And then he says to the high, remember, remember. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, verse number 10, but the rich in that he is made low. Now the brother of low degree has a reason to rejoice because the Lord will work everything out and he'll exalt him, and God knows his heart, and so he doesn't have to worry about what other people think of him. But now he says to the rich person, to that person of high degree, you can rejoice because you're going to be made low. Now wait a second here. This I don't like so much. It's one thing if I am a lowly person, I can rejoice because I know I'll be exalted. But if I am not a lowly person, God says I can rejoice because that he's going to bring me low. Counterintuitive? I would say so. Here's what he says. The rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun is no risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. All right, church, we who claim to not be partial in our judgments, first of all, to the brother of low degree, you can rejoice because God is able to exalt you. Secondly, to the brother of high degree, to he who is rich, he who is highly esteemed, you can rejoice in that you will be made low. Here's what you need to remember. This whole status thing goes away the day you die. Think about that for a moment. He compares it to the grass and the flower that falleth away. I've enjoyed this fall and the beautiful weather that we've had, and taken some time to drive around and see some of the leaves change, and it was just a really, honestly, if it ended now and we got snow tonight, amen, we've had a beautiful fall, have we not? I mean, the colors have been spectacular. I'm watching the sunshine through those leaves that are orange and yellow and red. I mean, it's just been awesome. I just love it. My in-laws were here for 2 weeks. He giveth more grace. No, I'm just kidding. They're probably watching. My in-laws were here for 2 weeks, and they live in Kansas, western Kansas, and it's flat. And you can see the tree that they have in their county. It's like 5 miles away. And you can see it from a distance, and it doesn't change color at all. No, they don't get to see this kind of thing very often. So when they were here, we decided, hey, we're going to take a drive and look at some of the leaves. And we drove to Maplewood State Park, just a beautiful place. But one thing that I noticed, even though it was beautiful, it was nothing compared to what it was a week or two ago. Because as the fall goes on, those bright oranges and reds and all of that kind of turn to yellows and browns, and they're not quite as magnificent. And then the frost starts to come and the winds start to blow, and pretty soon those trees that were so beautiful begin to look, let's be honest, kind of ugly as all the trees, the leaves fall off and they fall away. And I mean, it's just really a very short window of time that we see that beauty. Every time I see the leaves turn color, I think I'm excited about the fall, but I'm kind of dreading what comes after that, you know? And I know that it's a fairly short amount of time. It's a sign that it's not going to last forever. And James says, listen, rich people, highly esteemed, those who are revered, the things that you have and the position that you're in and the status that you have today won't last any longer than that. And in the same way that the flower falls away and the grass fades and the sun comes up and it beats down and it scorches the grass, your life is going to be over someday too. Kind of puts things in perspective a little bit, doesn't it? We spend so much time and so much energy and so much of our life concerned about what other people think of us. And God says, hey, wait a second. It's not going to last forever. And by the way, the rich and the poor and the highly esteemed and the lowly all kind of have one thing in common. We're all headed to the grave someday. And guess what? In the grave, there is no status. You can't take any of your wealth and your riches with you. You don't take your reputation with you. You leave that behind. I wonder how many times in a mortuary you've had someone who was a homeless person laying next to someone who was wealthy and rich and highly esteemed, because, friend, we're all headed there. There's level ground. And so we can rejoice in that. Well, why would I rejoice in that? Well, you wouldn't if you weren't a brother, if you weren't a Christian, if you weren't a child of God. You would have to look at this life and say, it's futile, it's empty, and it's worthless. But you can rejoice because, friend, there's a better day coming. And the better day that's coming is this. There won't be any brother of low degree and brother who is rich and highly esteemed. Therefore, it's important that we don't live for this life, and we don't live for pleasure, and we don't live for building and storing up riches that vanish away, and those things that Jesus spoke of in Matthew chapter 6, as he said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moss nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Don't be so focused on the things of this life, because there's a better day coming. And guess what? The brother of low degree and the brother who's rich and highly esteemed, you know what? We all have the same thing in common. We're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And on that day, there will be a reckoning in which we will receive reward based upon our service to God in this life. And it won't matter which side of the tracks you came from. And it won't matter what your last name was. And it won't matter what your skin color was. And it won't matter how much money you had in the bank. And it won't matter if you were the garbage man or the mayor. What'll matter is, did you serve God? So to the humble, he says, rejoice. And then to the high, he says, remember. And then verse number 12, to the hurting, he says, remain. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Brother of low degree, brother of high degree, here's what you need to know. You have some things in common. One of them is, obviously, God is not a respecter of persons. We all one day will die and stand before the Lord. We are told that in Matthew chapter 16, where the rich man and Lazarus both died, and they both entered eternity. And the tables were turned, weren't they, as the rich man woke up in hell and Lazarus was in paradise in Abraham's bosom. Another thing that we have in common, no matter what your status in life, is that we all face some tribulation, some trial, and some temptation. Have you ever realized that it doesn't matter where you are in life, trials come, tragedy can strike, you face temptations. Whether a temptation to sin or whether it be a temptation, that trying of your faith, we all face it. We all hurt. We all experience pain. And James says, listen, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. There's a better day coming, and there's reward in heaven for those who remain, for those who are steadfast. I want you to go with me, excuse me, to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse number 16, a servant of the Lord here says, one who the Apostle Paul was highly esteemed at one point in his life and became a brother of low degree. Here's what he says in verse number 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. I wish I had some time to talk about that tonight. No matter the external circumstances, what a wonderful blessing it is to be able to be renewed day by day by day by day as we walk with the Lord. And we find that strength that He gives every passing day. And He giveth more grace. He says, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And then He says this, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. As we endure temptation, trial, and tribulation, as we face persecution, as the outward man is perishing and we feel like we can't take any more, there's a strange phenomenon inwardly. We're renewed day by day and God gives us strength. And here's the thing, we can go on and we can rejoice and we can remember and we can remain steadfast. Why? Because we know that that light affliction that we're facing is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And then He says, verse number 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You see, we spend a lot of time focused on things that we can see, things that we can measure, whether it be status, whether it be wealth, whether it be fame, whether it be trial and pain and affliction. We can see those things and we measure them and we say, look how great and look at the magnitude of that. And we focus so much of our life and our energy on those things which we see. But He says, listen, those things which you see, they're temporal. They're not going to last forever. They're like that grass that doesn't last forever. The sun comes up and it withers the grass. The frost comes and the wind blows and the leaves are blown off the tree, and those things which are so important for a short time are so temporal. But those things which are not seen, those things are eternal. And in comparison to the things which are eternal, the light afflictions that you face on a day-to-day basis are nothing. Remain. Hang in there. Because there's a better day coming. We have to get a heavenly perspective. We have to be able to see as God sees. And focus on that which is eternal, not that which is temporal. Let's pray.
This has been Growing in Grace with Pastor Brian Weiss from Fargo Baptist Church in Fargo, North Dakota. To obtain a recording of this program, you may send a gift of $2 to Fargo Baptist Church, 3303 23rd Avenue South, Fargo, North Dakota, 58103. You also may listen to programs online at kfbn.org. Join us next time for more spiritual helps that will enable you as you grow in grace. Growing in Grace is a production of Heaven 88.7.